It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Yes, it is everything AFL in the Sunshine State, although weirdly no games in the southeast this week, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Hello, my name's Nick Davis. Welcome to Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. As I am every week, I'm joined by our man down in Melbourne, Will Rolston, in crystal clear stereo. How are you, mate? Your Lions just keep getting it done.
Yes, very happy to be here, and possibly the best win, I'm trying to cast my mind back, maybe since Geelong at home last year. I think the most satisfied I've been with a win to this point. So very happy to be here.
I think that's very safe to say. We'll touch on that very shortly, because what I want to get to is our man who's not with us actually at the moment. He's down the line taking, I think, a bit of a birthday holiday. Jack Fulham, hello.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for having me on the line. As always, it's wonderful. Dialed in from the comforts of home. So, you know, a nice little change for the Northern Exposure.
So it's not COVID. It's nothing like that. You're just putting your feet up. And that's okay. I think you've earned it, Jacko, because as we said, there were no games in the southeast, but there was up at Cazaly's Stadium in Cairns, possibly the worst game of football we have ever seen. And you, my man, were on the boundary.
Yep, Saturday night slop fest up in Cairns. And look, it was... It's great that we're going to take football to, you know, different parts of the country. Darwin gets games, Cairns gets games. Fantastic. But whoever the dodo was at AFL House that said, let's schedule a game in Cairns during one of the wettest months of the year. I don't know if that's the fixturing boss. I'm going to have to look up his name. Probably
Travis Auld, is that him?
Yep, Travis Auld. That's a stinker.
We'll name names. We'll name names.
It might not have been his exact call, but what are we doing?
It was a quagmire.
I tried my best.
I've got stats here. The rainfall in April for Cairns is mean rainfall is 200 millimetres.
With numbers.
And then in June, that drops to 47.
Yeah, it's a dry
it's
season.
Five times likely to have more rain in April than June. 2 months apart.
Yeah,
you think we could just, we can't schedule St Kilda, Port Adelaide for June?
It's a part of the world where we have a wet and a dry season, but no one really looked at that, did they, Jack?
No, they did not.
Speaking of, before we move on from Queensland footy, because Tasmania have obviously put forward a very good case for a 19th side, and they're looking for a 20th. I think the Cairns Crocs are in big trouble if that's the standard of footy we're going to see.
That did them no favours. It's actually a very good
point. I would have gone with the Cairns Cyclones.
The North Queensland Fury, I believe, were they represented by
Robbie Fowler.
I remember Robbie Fowler playing for them, and not for very long either. So let's actually focus on the teams that we do care about here. Will, your Brisbane Lions, they travelled down to Sydney on Sunday, and after a fast start, Buddy Franklin did everything he could to drag the Swans back into the game, but they showed their class through. Do you think the Lions, did they lapse in that period of time, or was that just an incredible period of footy from the Swans?
We definitely lapsed because we couldn't win a centre clearance. I think it within the first three goals, which felt like it happened in about 3 minutes, I don't remember us actually touching the footy. It just suddenly, it was a procession, and there wasn't much. I really felt for Darcy Gardner. It was just that the ball was coming to the highest point of Buddy's leap, and then he's getting curling ones in from the pocket. When the Buddy show is on, sometimes you've just got to sit back and watch. And I love that we never actually lost the lead. We came close. And then in hindsight, it was probably the most satisfying thing that could have happened, because it meant that we had to respond away from home with a raucous crowd. We didn't have Danaher, and it was one of the most professional, brilliant wins I think I've seen. I've never been more proud with this current crop of players, I reckon. It was just stunning.
Jack, I know that you've been sceptical of Dane Zorko's move to halfback throughout the year, but those two goals he kicked in the first and second term where he just went whack-whack from outside 50, that's exactly what you want from a halfback, especially on a small ground.
I dare say he wasn't playing a lot of halfback on the weekend to kick two goals three. A bit more time further up the ground, but you know, as we've said about Dane Zorko all year, is that he's dangerous whenever he gets the footy in his hands, whether it's in the back pocket or, you know, a bit closer to goals.
They definitely must have changed his role, because I haven't seen him that far up the field, and I think it must have been some sort of positional change that Chris Fagan had up his sleeve for an important game like this. And I think it must have caught the Swans off guard, because he had, how much room did he have on the edge of 50? You'd never see that typically.
Maybe that's the double bluff with Dan Rich, is that all eyes go to Daniel Rich and Zorko just, nobody's watching him.
Oh, I like it, Jack. I like it a lot.
And he, He kicked two goals, three as well. He could have really had a day out. So it's a nice weapon to have up our sleeve. Just quickly, so we go back to the Collingwood game 3 weeks ago. We have Danaher kicking four, Bailey three. Then last week, we've got Bailey six, Cameron four, Danaher three. Then this week, you've got Cameron three, McStay three, Rayner three. So you've got many different guys, as well as Zorko too, of course. So you've got many different guys kicking multiple goals, and we're not relying on one or the other. So I think that was the most satisfying thing. We barely saw Bailey have the same impact as he did last week, and we still managed to hit 100 points after only kicking one goal to quarter time.
That was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah. So 16 goals in three quarters against quality opposition.
Well, the Lions are going to have to add to that list this weekend against West Coast, coming in $1.02 favourites, if you don't mind, for Saturday night. West Coast, $15, if anyone wants to take that. They will be doing it without Joe Danaher, who sublaxed his shoulder twice during the game. That's going to see him out from anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks. These are just annoying injuries for those. I've done these a couple of times before, just personally speaking, and they hurt like hell when they happen, and then they just go away, and they hurt like hell, and they go away. But to rebuild that shoulder joints is going to take a little bit of time. He should avoid surgery, but speaking to people around the Triple M office today, I did find out the reason Joe didn't have scans yesterday is because the public holiday up here in Brisbane and nothing was open.
Which is mental.
Which, hey, well, Coles wasn't open either, so
that put
my...
What doing, Brisbane? Not one scanning joint?
It is one of the great things about Queensland as a whole is that nobody shuts down for a public holiday quite like Queensland.
It's just ridiculous. I would have thought the club could have relied on just one bloke to open his doors.
So, going forward into this game against West Coast, which I think the only question is how much will the Lions win by? Now that Danaher will drop out, Jackson Pryor, no structural damage to what we thought was an ACL, possibly just corking around that knee.
That's really good news.
Very good news.
Excellent news.
Mitch Robinson, 26 touches in the VFL. He had a day out, so did Rhys Matheson.
Robbo's an interesting one to touch on, is that he had the calf injury, spent a week out, and then Fagan essentially dropped him from the team and said, you know, show some form in the twos and fight your way back into the squad, which just goes to show how good the Lions are going at the moment. And props to Mitch Robinson, too, that he took it like a champion. He still got his vlog up. There's footage of him in the basically sitting at the back of the SCG grandstand cheering the Lions on. And you just go, what a good guy to take it like that for a senior bloke who's, you know, played over 200 games of footy and what you thought was a very well entrenched member of that side. He probably could have taken it the wrong way, and that he didn't is a real testament to Mitch's character.
Absolutely.
And very quickly in the VFL, Jack, we didn't get to touch on it last week, but this is news that all Brisbane Lions fans will be licking their chops at. Marcus Ashcroft's young son.
I thought you called him Marcus.
Oh, no, son of Marcus. Will Ashcroft, 21 touches, 5 marks, 6 tackles. That was his second game in the VFL, and he is already lighting the stage on fire, and we're still a long way out from the draft. But
he looked classy.
Geez, it is a nice prospect for Lions fans right now.
He really is. He was, 20-odd touches. It did not look out of place at that level whatsoever. So hopefully this is basically just going to get him closer to signing up as a father-son and that the Lions can take him. I know that a decision hasn't been made either way, but you'd think that they're pretty close. And you'd reckon that whole Lions squad would be getting around him right now.
He can't debut this week, can he?
Look, honestly, it'd be a nice, easy game to roll him into against the Waffle side. But
are you allowed to list a 17-year-old as like a COVID top-up player?
Don't tempt me,
Jack. I know we ask hard questions on this podcast, but I'm not too sure about that one. I'm going to say probably no, unless he's finished school. I don't think that's the case.
Harry Sharp played when he was at school.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There we go. No, very good. Well, we've gone into a grey area here. So now let's go to the part of the podcast where we sort of take the tone down a little bit. Thank you, Jack. That's exactly the noise that we are looking at. The Gold Coast Suns are now 2-5.
Do we have a sad Gold Coast trumpet?
I think there might be a sad trombone somewhere that I can find. I know. 25-point loss to the Pies on the G. Look, they put 90 points on, but at the same time, at times Collingwood just made it look too easy. Unfortunately, Jack Ginnivan's goal, it looked sensational, but those last two tackles, he just ran straight through them.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of having Scott Pendlebury on our show down here in Melbourne, and he made a good point because he thought that of the three defenders that were trying to or attempting to stop Jack Ginnivan, that because it's so close to the goal line, a lot of players in that scenario are kind of half trying to smother the footy, and they're trying to stop the player from kicking, and it leads to what is perceived as a weak tackling effort. But still, One of you's got to put him down.
Just one of them would be very nice. Look, Will, I'm actually going to blame you for the Suns' loss on the weekend. Our group chat was firing along, and you let us know that the Suns were mounting a comeback towards the third term. We both flicked on our AFL app, and then it just blew out again.
I think it might have been Jack who said, how many has Levi kicked? And I said, he's about to kick five, because he was at the top of the goal square.
Suns fan, you know exactly who you can point the finger at. Big Levi, 4-4. He was a problem for Collingwood afternoon. Just unfortunately, inaccuracy let him down. Big Mab also with 3 goals. So 7 goals from the Suns' tall forwards. It's amazing because it's something you're so happy to read on paper, but at the same time, without the wins in the W column there, it's just not enough. And look, I have to say, if Collingwood's going to put 7 goals on you in the first term, you're in for a tough afternoon.
Well, they've had a couple of bad first quarters this year, and it's basically just crippled them for the rest of the match. The game against GWS, they were ordinary in the first quarter, and it probably just goes to show that the mindset wasn't there. I think that they threw everything they had at the Lions last week, especially in the first 3 quarters, and ended up getting blown away. So it's pretty dispiriting for a Gold Coast side that has been so greatly improved this year. But there were some positives to take out of the game, like Tuke Miller, even in a losing side, he probably should get the 3 Brownlow votes, 36 touches and a couple of real clutch captain's goals. Noah Anderson had 30 touches and, I'd probably say that at the moment, Matt Rowell is Noah Anderson's wingman. At the rate that Noah Anderson's picking up the footy.
Yeah, he does go under the radar, Anderson. He's putting together a quality season. One point I wanted to make is about Jack Lekosius, who I believe is genuinely the best kick in the AFL.
Oh,
yeah.
And he only gets the ball on the weekend 11 times, 8 kicks. And of those 8, I think 7 were devastating for Collingwood. It's just going to end up in his hands a little bit more, not to mention Isaac Rankin is another who would love to get hands on Pill a little bit more than he currently does.
He's kind of got a bit of the Jack Watts about him, doesn't he, Jack Lekosius, in that he's not big enough to play as a key position forward. He's probably not athletic enough to really run through the midfield, maybe on a wing, probably doesn't possess the defensive capabilities. He's kind of positionless, Jack Lekosius, despite having like all the talent in the world, and it's probably that conundrum that the Gold Coast Suns coaching staff need to work out, is that where can he play his best footy? Because like we all know what he can do, and when he does get the ball 20 times, like he'll just rip a side wide open.
It's a really good point.
We'll find out exactly where he goes this weekend when the Suns take on the Swans at the SCG again. Exactly, Jack. I couldn't have put it better myself. But at the same time, and look, I know I said this coming into last week's game, there's always that possibility of the ambush from the wounded Suns. That's now 2 tough losses in a row. And again, Jack, to your point that you've made all year, that was only a 25-point loss. So about on their 4-goal average is where they sit. Never a blowout, but getting closer and closer, but still not close enough.
There probably is going to be one bonus for the Suns. Jack Bowes looks like he's going to come back into the lineup. He kicked the match-winning goal with about 20 seconds to go in the VFL on the weekend. So,
that was sensational.
And also, while we're speaking of the Suns VFL, I really love to see he's been playing some consistent footy in the VFL to start the year. Elijah Hollands, who was their first-round draft pick in the 2020 draft, had most of his first year in the AFL wiped out with injury last year. I'd love to see him come in for a debut. The Suns aren't going to be playing finals this year.
Play the kids?
At least play your prize draft pick.
That makes a lot of sense. Good from you, Jack. You can go back to enjoying your birthday leave now. Me and Will will just keep pushing on through. That's been Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure for another week, and we'll keep bringing you everything AFL in the Sunshine State as long as it's not in Cairns again.